Today is World AIDS Day, and just a few blocks from where we're sitting right now in Greenwich Village, later this morning, a dedication will be held for the new AIDS Memorial at St. Vincent's Triangle. It's across the street from the former site of a hospital that treated so many of the earliest victims of the HIV-AIDS crisis here in New York. And this week, the health department reported that new HIV diagnoses dropped to under 2,500 for the first time, but there's still much work left to do. Stephen Thrasher, writer-at-large at The Guardian and doctoral fellow in American Studies at NYU, wrote about the battle that's still left to fight, and he's with us in the studio this morning. Stephen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
First, let's go back to this terrible time here in New York City in the 1980s. St. Vincent's kind of became a focal point during the height of the AIDS crisis. What made it such an important site at that time?
Well, part of it is, of course, where it's located. Even though it's a Catholic hospital, it was located in one of the densest concentrations of gay men in the city, where we first started to get an idea of what was happening with the virus and the effect that AIDS was going to have. So I believe the first reported AIDS case was out of St. Vincent's. It was one of the first and the largest AIDS wards in the country, and was the site of a lot of treatment and death of a lot of gay men. And so it became a real gathering place for their families and friends, too.
So in your column that's out in The Guardian today, you mentioned tension at the site. I mean, it's now being turned into luxury condos. I mean, we've covered the whole St. Vincent's thing over the years here. The memorial is at West 12th Street in Greenwich. It's just across the street. What do you make of the decision to kind of place that memorial there?
In a way, it's really fitting to have it right outside of St. Vincent's, and it is actually nice because the hospital has become luxury condos. It's nice to actually acknowledge what that place was and how much activism happened there and how much death was there. I was thinking this morning about a dear friend of mine who's also passed. Her name was Rosemary, but her son passed there, and I remember what a sight that was and how sad she was to know that it wasn't going to be a hospital or a place of care anymore. So it's good to have it there. At the same time, I hope that it doesn't signal to people that AIDS is something that was in the past, that there was this terrible period and that's now over. Because even though a lot of people got access to drugs in the mid-90s and HIV became something that was manageable and did not have to turn into lethal AIDS, it's still very much an epidemic around the country and around the world that does not need to be forgotten.
Now, as I mentioned before, there is a declining number of people testing positive for HIV, but health officials do say that, you know, Black and Hispanic, Latino men are still disproportionately affected by HIV and AIDS here in New York, and I'm assuming across the country as well. So there's lots more work to do, right?
There is. There are some declining numbers, and that's good news to hear from the city. New York City is also a place that takes this very seriously and does a lot of good public health work. That is not the case around the country. And there are huge racial disparities. As I mentioned in my column, one in two Black gay men are predicted to become HIV positive in their lifetime. And I want to point out, although nobody deserves to become HIV positive, this actually does not have to do with behaviors people oftentimes think. Black and Black gay men do not have more sexual partners or use more IV drug use. But a huge part of the way that the virus moves is through poverty, through systemic racism, through access to health care. And so here in New York City, we do have a pretty robust public health system that addresses this in some ways. But particularly in the American South, in parts of this city, but particularly in the American South and states like Indiana, where there was a huge HIV outbreak, a lack of public health resources is still making this an ongoing epidemic that needs to be taken very seriously.
Now, what comes next under a Trump administration? That you say that President-elect Trump says very little about HIV and AIDS. He hasn't and doesn't even address it in his health care policy. How do you think that will play out?
I think it's going to be a disaster, to be quite frank. The people that he's appointing are very dangerous. Vice President-elect Pence was the governor of Indiana, where there was this enormous HIV outbreak. He also is a big believer in absence-only education. He has put out statements that that suggest that he's more interested in conversion therapy and making people not gay, which doesn't work, than dealing with HIV. And also Tom Price, the presumed HHS secretary nominee, is also extremely against the Affordable Care Act. And huge swaths of HIV prevention are actually being funded by the ACA right now. Lines of departments, personnel that are going out and doing things to help prevent HIV. And so if the ACA disappears and that money disappears, it's just going to be even harder to deal with the ongoing epidemic.
So are there ways for cities like New York to kind of counteract a federal government that may not be as responsive to this as maybe the Obama administration has been?
I mean, there are ways. Like I said, New York City has a long history of dealing with this. And as we think about World AIDS Day, or as we think about having a memorial, the hope is just just that these things don't be thought of as something in the past. Cities have to be very proactive about it. But I know that aid service organizations that get their money from a mix of public, private, state, and city sources, they stand to be losing a lot of federal money. And if they do, that it's still going to be harder for cities to do that.
Stephen Thrasher, writer-at-large at The Guardian and doctoral fellow in American Studies at NYU. Thanks so much.
Thank you.